This is Wayne and Buzz. I'm talking.
So, welcome to Fear the Boom, bonus episode, whatever number this is, because I'm not bothering to look it up. I'm Wayne, not Chad, who is just going on.
This is Julia.
Yeah, we were sitting here, and Wayne goes, hey, that piece of shit we just recorded, let's do a bonus episode to make up for it.
Actually, it's more laziness, because I didn't want to try to keep track of everything. Let's just go for it.
No, I love it, because it takes a while to get, I mean, I haven't had any drinks, so yeah,
I know,
scared.
You're still.
I know, yeah, it's sober. Messed up.
And yeah. You missed out on our pre-recording competition, which usually happens when we pause during recording, and that's our burping competition.
Yeah.
Chad and I, it's always down between the two of us.
Right.
You know, Julia, I can't
burp much anymore. I used to just destroy guys with
story.
My burping.
We heard stories.
Like, yeah. We had a legend. When I played freshman basketball, we had a newbie coach. Yes, I used newbie. I did it on purpose. So he'd never coached girls before. He'd always coached boys. So we loved that. And we would mess with him so bad. So we'd go and get dressed and talk about tampons and girly things and like nail polish and blah, blah, blah. And then we'd come out and we'd get a drink and run 3 laps and just be like, it was great.
So do tampons come in calibers like firearms? like is there
a 12 gauge? Have I told my Japanese tampon story?
You have not.
Okay.
Do tell.
This is a bonus episode.
I'm having flashbacks here. Because the last game that we had, when we went out for dinner afterwards, it was a long drive. So I'm driving, and in my car is Sarah and Pat's wife, Beth. Chad has everyone else in the other car.
I had all the cool kids.
Right. So they get into a conversation that just, I'm getting really uncomfortable. I start trying to change the conversation, like, oh, hey, I didn't know that store was here. And they finally kind of catch on. It's like, oh, I feel bad for him. He's having to listen in on this whole conversation. And then they continued the conversation.
Has your wife ever made, have you ever bought tampons or pads for your wife?
I have made the trip. It is an embarrassing
trip. It's not a big deal.
That was the start of the conversation with her talking about how wonderful I am that I'm willing to go do it. It's like, but I hate doing that.
It's not a big deal.
I just walk in and I'm like, yep, bitch is late good again.
There's no way this actually makes it to the air, but we'll give the end the file.
So here's the funny Japanese tampon story. So I went to Japan with Mike.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give too many details, but it was towards the end of my cycle, and I ran out. And so I'm like, that's fine. There's like 1,000 stores around me. I'm sure we can get some tampons. So I do. They're smaller. It hurt. It was uncomfortable. The applicator didn't get it in the right place. I was so uncomfortable. I could not believe that.
Like, you didn't buy a small size.
No,
you bought
it's the normal gauge, I guess. No, it's not gauge. It's not what I'm talking about. Because there's like, you know, regular super blah, blah, blah. I'm sure.
No, we don't know.
No, well, I've bought this before. I get
there's
it.
There's different absorbency.
Yeah, absorbency. Yeah. Because you have different amounts of flow as you go through the cycle.
This was not that.
Life, Wayne. It's called the beauty of life.
I'm talking about instead of being normal size to go in my apparently
your
giant American hoo-ha, it was it was too short.
That explains where all the goes.
Oh God. Anyway, it just wouldn't. It was really uncomfortable. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
So there's
too
small. So there's prospect of Mike and I moving there for a year or two.
You're gonna have to stock up.
I looked at him.
Do you have anything to declare, ma'am? Oh yeah.
Tons of tampons. No, I looked at him. I go, well, I guess Amazon's gonna be my best friend because there's no way I'm buying them here.
Now I want to go to like Oslo because I want to see this big Nordic chick. Like,
you want to see how big the tampons?
See if I can put him in my shotgun.
No, it's like
literally a baby sheep.
It's like a fist.
God, we're mature.
I can bring it back and talk about the tights story.
Go on. Do tell.
So I don't know if I... Am I tall for a female? I don't know. Mike says I'm not.
I'm 6'3", so everybody's short to me.
I'm like 5'9 and a half. I don't know.
I'm 5'8", man. Whatever. Everybody's tall.
I mean, in Japan, obviously, I'm like the same height as all the men there. And I bought this in... I'm going to get really girly. I bought this cute sweater dress to wear. And it was back when that was popular to wear with tights. And when we were there, it was like, I don't know, I guess end of September, early October. So at night, it would be really cold, but it would be like a humid death heat during the day. So like this was something to wear at night. So we go back to the hotel to get ready to go out somewhere nice to eat. And so I'm getting ready. And I got in the shower first. I come out and I realize I forgot the tights at home. Now all
like home, America, like
here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went to there's a store everywhere in Tokyo. So like I walked down to the bottom floor of my hotel and there's a convenience store that has purses and girly things. So I buy tights and I go upstairs.
It's my understanding Japanese like convenience stores are open 24 hours. Oh, yeah. You can walk the street without any danger. And
they have tights. I mean, our convenience stores have donuts. Theirs have tights. I mean, it's just a different idea. So Mike comes out of the bathroom to me on the bed with my legs in the air, trying to pull these tights down because they are about a foot freaking shorter than me.
But the size on them is your size. But so it's just different. Not. Yeah.
So the crowd, literally, he's laughing his ass off because it's probably hilarious. My legs up in the air, I'm just trying to pull these down. And like they're black, but they're gray now because I have got them so stretched out and up my legs. And so I stand up and the crotch is almost at my knees. So like I can't even fake wearing these because like the sweater dress is not going to cover that up. And I'd be walking around with like baby diaper ass if I try to wear these. So Mike is like, well, guess you're not wearing that sweater dress. I'm like, shut up. Like, I was so pissed and I felt so fat and I just didn't think about the fact that, I'm like a foot taller than everybody there.
You're this gigantic, clotting American woman.
Right. They don't make dude tights. Well, they probably make dude tights. There was no dude tights in the convenience store I was in. So everything is small. Nothing fit my tits. It was ridiculous. Nothing. I would buy a t-shirt and it would be like...
You're slim. I'm average. You're not tall. You're not short. You're
American average, though.
Yeah, you're American average. You're Japanese gigantic. Average.
No, I got to the point where I just didn't care anymore. And all the girls that listen to the show, they have really cute boots there, like anime boots. And
all three girls who listen to the show.
Well, they have cute anime boots and they have great costuming boots and they're dirt cheap there. You can buy like thigh high boots for like $35, which is retarded.
Whoa. This is amazing.
Thigh high boots?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right? I wanted a pair of these. So my heart was set on buying a pair of thigh high boots. And so I go to Harajuku, which is shopping district of Japan, for clothes. And Mike literally had to walk into every single store and ask for the most gigantic size. And they still didn't fit me.
I have this disgusting, huge American wife. Service her!
Like, he would literally... Like,
oh my God, she's gigantic!
Godzilla!
Godzilla! She's talking to people. We don't do that here.
We don't do that here. But it was really sad. I learned my lesson.
So what was the weirdest thing you saw while you were in Japan?
Used panty vending machines.
You did see those.
I did see those. Gachapon underwear.
See, I've talked to a lot of people that have been to Japan. And I've always asked that question, knowing that it's a ridiculously offensive question to ask people. But no one has ever seen the used ones. Like, I know they're in...
They're in Akihabara.
Yes. I was going to say, I know they're there. And I know that they're, like, hidden in the back rooms usually. But most people say that they found, like... new ones. No one's ever actually told me they found the used before.
Well, here's how I found them. So I went to Japan with Mike and his mother.
Yeah.
We were gathering gifts for everybody. Of course, we're going to bring stuff back. And my brother, he likes anime. So we were kind of looking for maybe some One Piece figures or something like that. And Mike at the time, and now he's gotten better, is not very good at reading kanji. He can read katakana just fine. But in Akihabara,
because Mike, your husband,
he's a major in Japanese language. Yeah. He's graduating in May. And so he couldn't read kanji at the time. Mm-hmm. And all Akihabara is kanji. So we have no clue what stores we're going into. All we know is the bottom floor is anime figures. And you go up a floor and it could be whatever. So Mike goes off into like across the street into this one to look for something. So me and his mom are climbing stairs up because that's how they build.
And it's either going to be cookware, or food or dildos or anything.
We walked up into a sex shop. Yeah. So here I am standing with my future husband's mom in a creepy sex shop that says men's holes spelt with a Z. And I'm like, and there's the gachupon panties used. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, man.
And it's all for men. It's the sex shop. Okay.
So did you buy a pair?
No, I did not.
I want them for a pocket square. Like, I want to wear the jacket and just
use pocket
square. A tasteful, artful skid mark that runs right through.
That's a very unusual color of your pocket square. That's just my underwear.
Did I ever tell you guys the Christmas thong story?
No.
Okay, because I figured at least Chad would have heard this one.
I'm scared.
So my sister was dating this guy for a while, and he was coming in for Christmas each year. So one year, you know, this is a big family gathering for Christmas. I'm like, how can I embarrass this guy? So I go out to Spencer's.
I have heard this story. Yeah.
I go out to Spencer's, and I find a remote control. It's just a programmable TV remote control with a bra that pops off, and it's a booby remote control. So then I take this. I was in high school at the time, so I actually had access to a shop class. So I build this box out of sheet metal, and I rivet it shut, and I wrap it, because it's the other ongoing amusing thing with my family is trying to find the most difficult ways you can wrap things. So I took it over the top. Usually duct tape was as far as we go. No, I actually spot welded this thing shut. And when he opened it to pull the wrapping paper off and got to the box, I handed him a crowbar. When he finally gets this thing open, it's this booby remote control. So I'm pretty proud of myself. It's like, I won.
Yeah.
So a year later, we get over there to my brother and sister-in-law's house for Christmas. My grandma is there. At this point, I think she was 88-year-old grandmother. And the boyfriend is sitting there, and he just kind of smiles at me. And he's like, there's stuff for you on the Christmas tree.
That's when you peace out, man. That's when you just like, oh, you win. Done. I'm gone.
So on the Christmas tree, in, I don't remember if they were clear or colored, like egg containers, he had bought three different pairs of male thongs and had them on the Christmas tree.
Nice.
And his gift was a, so I get like this envelope, and it tells me where on the tree I go to grab them. And you grab them, you open them up, and here's this one that's like a leather one with a zipper in the front.
Ow. We forgot to break the bum.
So in front of my grandmother and the whole family, I'm pulling these things out.
Yes.
So then,
and modeling them.
No.
So then, that's a Kickstarter reward for Fear the Con 8.
That's true.
Is pictures of Wayne in
pictures? Yeah. I'm thinking a private showing. I mean, it's a $10,000 backer show. Level. So, you know.
So a couple months later, we were visiting my sister. So we're off in Kansas City. We're walking through a mall with her and her boyfriend. And he makes some comment. It's like, so have you tried those yet? And I look at him completely straight faced and say, a zipper in the front is the most painful thing I have ever experienced.
Nice.
I'm wearing them right now.
I mean, really, that is a design flaw.
Why is this a feature? Who thought of this?
And I thought, I saw his face and my sister's face both immediately turn bright red. Oh, and so I may have failed. I have to give him the win because he embarrassed me in front of my grandmother and all of the family. And she broke up with him before the next Christmas, so I never got a chance to get back at him. Mm-hmm. But I at least got him back in the mall.
He's like, I love you, baby, but I gotta beat Wayne. Done.
Nice. Yeah, I remember when I was, God, this is awful. I feel like such a whore now. Anyway, when I was in early high school years, like the cool thing to do was to go buy your thongs at Hot Topic because they had cool thongs.
That's where I bought my thongs.
Like Scratch and Sniff. There's Scratch and Sniff. I had literally had Scratch and Sniff peppermint and strawberry underwear. There's also like condom pocket ones where there's like a little zipper. You can stick a condom in it. Isn't that slutty? I look at that now and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I wore those.
This is the greatest episode I've ever heard.
But seriously, if you ask any of the girls my age, they shopped it like it was 579. That was another store that was around when I was younger. And they had cool underwear, Hot Topic and Spencer's.
I would have thought Victoria's Secret would have made the list.
Too expensive for a 14-year-old.
How amazing it must have been to be a young good-looking guy in high school.
I would know.
Yeah.
That has to be the dream.
I know. I used to... No, I'm just...
Yeah. Well, now no. I'm sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there a gaming topic? Or are we just going to riff?
This is a bonus episode. We talk about whatever we want to talk about.
I did come up with a topic, but it got blown away by Japan and panties and tampons. It got rightfully so.
It got blown away by some epic stories.
Yes.
This is how naive I am. Like, I would think, I mean, sure, I mean, things come in different sizes, but I didn't actually think that you would go to a different
country
and the tampons would be like those little mini marshmallows that you would put
I think
in your hot cocoa.
I think they're still in my cabinet. Like, I think I just, like, brought them with me and I kept
them. Still in your cavity. You're so small. You couldn't
get it back out.
You just got the plane? I thought you went a couple years ago. What?
No, I have them in my cabinet.
Small. There's no toxic shock.
You never know when you might need one.
So, we've heard your embarrassing stories from Japan. Is there anything you really miss about Japan?
Oh, the people. I mean, I know that sounds like I was only over there for a week and we flew into Texas, which was probably the wrong place to fly into a place like Japan. And it's just everybody over there so nice and so polite and so and like you can be 2 inches from somebody and never touch, you know, but it's a different. The people are amazing. And you come here and you got like burpy, stinky, rude, boisterous people. And
high five, Wayne.
And it's just a different.
And by here, she doesn't mean America. She means this room.
Here,
don't get me wrong.
Right
it's good if you burp in Japan. It really is while you're eating and stuff. But I'm just saying just that, you know, like America, eat everything on your plate and blah, you know, like it's completely different over there.
It's
like
different culture.
Yeah. And
what's
so
the stupidest question someone's asked you when they found out you went to Japan?
How big are
hentai? Hentai. Everybody was like, did you get any hentai? No, I'm a female.
What? Okay. I know this is not the place for judgments, but what the is wrong with you if you're sitting there getting off on women getting raped by giant tentacle monsters?
Well, especially a female being okay with that. Like, what? Doubly so.
What is wrong with you?
Right.
That's not all hentai, though.
There's different grades, apparently. Yeah.
There are a lot of different kinds. I'm sure if Pat were here, he could probably give you the
elaborate
whole laundry list of genres. But, so there's a local store around here that does used movies and things. That's it's called FYE. So they have a section back there of anime that we frequently buy the anime on. And then they have a section over of the hentai. And, you know, I'm a pretty outgoing guy these days compared to what I was growing up. But still, I can't really bring myself to move the 18 label to even see what's behind there.
Because it's disturbing. Like, it was just like, it's disturbing.
So I haven't looked for it online. I had never actually seen a hentai. So I'm having this conversation with my wife over one of the weeks we have off on vacation or something. I'm having the conversation with her. Like, okay, I've never seen one. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I'm kind of curious, but I don't want anything disturbing like tentacles.
Tentacles.
I went down the laundry list. It's like, that's, you know, not for me. I don't want tentacles. I don't want rape. I don't want any of that. So we had this conversation. Like, well, would you just go pick one out? Surprise me. Buy it. So we're in the store. Finally, I get her to agree. So she goes, she pulls one out.
Is she your Japanese porn proxy?
Is that what you're telling us?
In this case, yes. So she picks this thing out. She goes to check out. As she's talking to the people checking out, she's got a couple of DVDs, you know, other normal stuff, and she's got that. And she's having a conversation with the girl behind the counter. So as they're looking through the anime first, they start talking about anime. Now, or there's a local anime shop that we go to frequently. My wife makes crochet and sells through there. We're very good friends with the owners. We've gone over to their house for New Year's
parties.
We've gone over to their house for New Year's parties and things. So we're, you know, it's very obvious. So they start, she's having the conversation and my wife gives her one of her crochet business cards because my wife had her purse at the time was a purse that she had crocheted. Mm-hmm. And that's how the whole conversation had really gotten started about the crochet. And so she's like, I'm the person that makes all the crochet there. She's like, from the spinning rack. I've seen that. I love that stuff. I really like your owl and all of this. So they're having this conversation. And then she goes and rings up the hentai. And it pops up. Oh, you do know what this is. This isn't just anime. Yes, I know what it is.
Aww.
And she said she was mortified. Aww. She comes and gets in the car and she just looks at me and she goes, she's going to go tell the owners of Anime Agro all about this. I'm never going to be able to look at them the same way again. And I hope you're happy.
And you're like, well, I'm not happy now, but maybe in an hour.
Oh, it's like, okay. As soon as I got home, I'm like, okay, let's throw it in. She's like, I don't want to see it. I was like, we just got it. Aren't you curious too?
All that effort. Yes.
It was very, very plain and normal and nothing odd. And it got watched once and then put in the box. And I don't even know where it's at now.
Did so it get put in the box of shame?
It got put in the box, all right.
Yeah. So someday, someone is going to come over to the house at some point and either help us move or help us do something. And they're going to find in a box this hentai.
Now you're going to have to go home and try to find
it. You prevert.
I just know it's going to happen. Right. And it won't be someone like Pat.
It'll be your mom.
No. It'll be somebody that would just be utterly mortified to find
the box.
Oh,
you like cartoons, aren't we?
Just wait for somebody to pull up. What the f*** is this? This isn't hentai.
There's not a single tentacle in this.
There's no tentacles.
There's no children.
There's no knee-high socks and plaid skirts. And
it was even a love story.
Oh, look at that.
It had a story. It had a full story, and it was a love story and characters and character progression and
love.
Not at all what I expected.
Mike just recently traveled right before we got married in May, June, someone like that. He traveled there with school to Japan, and he was there for 2 weeks, I believe, and he has brought this brilliant thing back that I think somebody should start. And I don't care who. I don't have the money. So hopefully somebody rich hears this and does this. I forget the name of it. Mike will kill me. But basically, it's this bar. And there's quotations. I'm putting air quotes.
And you put batteries in it? No.
So you show up. You pay them per hour for the table you sit at.
Oh, an alcohol bar. Oh.
You pay per hour for the table you sit at with all your friends. So it's like, you can sit at this booth for $16 for 2 hours or whatever. I can't remember what it ended up coming to. It was pretty cheap though. All you can eat and drink.
Wow.
They were lit. And he said, I think it was $16 an hour, and they stayed there for like 5 hours or something, but they split it amongst them. So it ended up only being like $17 a person or something.
You sure it wasn't just Fear the Cotty was that? Because no. We have all the drink.
No, I mean, like, seriously, it was like all you can eat and drink. And so he said, what the problem is, or the deal is, you have to eat or drink whatever's on the table. There are no leftovers at this place. So he said, what we would be doing is, and you only have those hours that you're paying for. So the lady shows up to take your order. She brings you your order. You're already ordering your next round. He's like, you're utilizing your time. Yeah. And he said, it was like brilliant. I'm like, why hasn't somebody, could you imagine how much money you can make off of a place like that here?
I could drink a lot in 1 hour.
What I want to take Sarah to, if we ever go to Japan, I want to take her to one of the cat cafes because she would just lose her mind. Have you heard of these things?
It's like a coffee shop. Yeah,
it's like a coffee shop or just a basic restaurant. You go in and cats are everywhere.
Yeah, they live there.
Real cats that live there.
Yeah, they rescue them.
Is it like lobster tanks? You just
You're sitting there eating, and a cat will start rubbing against your legs.
Yeah, you can pet them, and like they give you toys to play with them and snacks to give them.
And there's bunny shops, and there's puppy shops.
I have yet to hear one that I'd want to go to. I don't like animals.
Well, yeah, but if you liked animals, it'd be really cool. And you can rent a puppy there.
I used to be an animal hater.
Uh-huh.
And then we got a dog. And now I'm like totally a bitch dog person.
Well, Mike and I passed one of the especially in Tokyo, which is where I went. Mike had the opportunity to go to other places. I was only in Tokyo. The places to live are so small that it's hard to have a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Cats can live in small places. Dogs generally can't. So they have like rent a dog shops everywhere where you can go and you can just rent a dog for a couple hours, take it to the park, you know, do whatever. I mean, they're more trustworthy than we are. And so we walked by the shop and I felt so bad for these poor dogs because they are like what I call doggy pussified, where they have pink mohawks and their nails are painted and they have sweaters on. I'm like, oh my gosh, these poor dogs. They're like, they look so terrible. But I think that's a really cool concept. Mm-hmm. And in the New York and Chicago both just opened a cat cafe.
But there are specific regulations regarding them in the New York and California ones. They cannot be in the dining room. Mm-hmm. It's actually a separate room. You have to go over to the separate room to spend time with the cats. They can't serve you the food in the same room.
Which is sad because that's the point.
In Japan, they're in the same room with you. Yeah, they're all over.
It's like being in your house. They come over and hang out with you. It's really
cute. That's one thing. We don't have enough themed restaurants.
We do that here in the United States, but we do it with people. They're called strip clubs and brothels.
And those are dirty. Yeah. At least the cats are clean.
So you can go and they will rub on you for money. And how involved, like if you want to rent one, you can do that.
You can
Most
do that.
Places it's illegal, but it can be done.
I know some places in the country have a lot more themed restaurants and things. And yeah. Like New York has a lot more. I really wish we had more.
Because did you know that there is a bar in St. Louis that does a metal-themed brunch on the yep. weekend?
I do know that. I've never been there, but yeah. I know.
Crow's Nest.
Like Metallica yeah. metal?
They do, like heavy, they do heavy a metal. Metal-themed trivia night. They do metal-themed Taco Tuesdays. And they do a metal-themed brunch.
What's
it's
it called?
The Crow's
okay.
Nest.
I'm going to take Mike, because Mike's a
I've never been
drummer
there.
Metalhead, so yeah. he so loves that kind of stuff.
I've eaten in Vegas has a lot of
I mean, I don't know if you sit there and be like, could you pass the roast beef? And it's like, what?
So I've been to Vegas one, and Vegas had a lot of themed restaurants. That was a lot of fun. You go to things like I went to the Star Trek Experience, and they had Quark's Bar.
Yep.
And right. it was designed to, you know, the food they were serving was all themed on that. I've been to
you can drink a Warp Core Breach.
Yeah, I've been to Rainforest
hey, if you,
Cafe
if you,
and things like that.
Cheers to the Klingons. Would they answer back?
I didn't try.
Jerks.
Well, and it's closed now, to my understanding.
It is. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. It's like, yeah, I really like to get into the dinner experience sometimes. Sometimes I just want to sit and have a nice, normal dinner. But sometimes I want to go and have fun. It's one of the reasons I like the Japanese steakhouses. I enjoy the show of the food being cooked in
you
front of
you. You need to go
you.
To the Limp Mansion.
I do. I haven't been, and I've always wanted to go.
Limp Mansion is a haunted house in St. Louis. All of you guys know it's
yeah.
from St. Louis.
It's an,
yeah,
I don't go there. An actual yeah. haunted
yeah.
house.
I don't go to haunted places.
It's pretty jacked. That place, get on Wiki, listeners, get on Wiki and read about the Limp family and the Limp Mansion and the ghost stories and all that. It's
they
like
were
pretty
a big
crazy.
Part of, well, until the history of our Dresden game.
Yeah, I was the history of it, because I actually have spent time researching the whole family, all the history. I have a section of notes on the real life events around them that takes up probably 5 pages of a notebook, because the group keeps saying, we're going to go to Limp Mansion in the game.
Yeah. And they never
we are,
did.
We have done 3 story arcs now at this yeah. point.
Multi-year campaign.
And they
now.
Talked about it in each arc, but they have never gone. I've had the Limp Mansion ghosts show up on TV
and
talk
go.
To one of the characters.
Yeah.
And still, they haven't gone. But I've done all this prep work, and that's why I don't do much prep work anymore.
Speaking of themed restaurants that I think you get a kick out of in Japan, I didn't get to go, but I researched it, and it was on one of our lists. We just couldn't fit everything.
Is it the Gundam Cafe? Because I want to go to the Gundam
Mike
Cafe.
Oh, Mike did go to the Gundam. Mike went to the Gundam Cafe, but this is different. It is called the Ninja Restaurant. And
you
it
can't
is,
find it.
Now you sit down, they slice your throat.
It's amazing. You walk in, and you know, you always have a hostess. It's like pitch black, except the little hostess stand. And so there's just a little light and obviously a little Japanese girl taking your name. And then I watched a video of this. This is how I know it. I did not experience it. And so you're just standing there in a pitch black room. And all of a sudden, a fucking ninja comes from somewhere, like dressed all in black. And he takes you to your table. And as you're walking through your table, you see ninjas flipping out of random wall spots and like the ceiling. Like the servers are literally flipping around. And like sometimes you'll get your like... It's like big meals. Like they'll serve you like a pig with a samurai sword through it. Like, it's nuts.
I would have turned and looked at Chad and say, man, I could really use a refill, and then look down and my cup is full.
Yeah.
And I never even saw it happen.
And like, they were saying that there's trap doors and all kinds of secret passages everywhere in that restaurant. And like that is their deal is to just pop out of random places and serve you your food. And I'm like, that amazing. Is so cool. I wanted to go so bad, but it was kind of far, it wasn't far away from Tokyo, but far enough it was hard to get to.
See, now that's on my list along with the Gundam Cafe. Because I want to do the Gundam Cafe. I want to see the life-size Gundam.
Oh, I saw that.
Because they've built a you know, life-size Gundam.
Statue,
that actually,
yeah.
It's a moving statue. Mm.
It moves and turns on. So here's a funny story. So when we were going to Japan, Mike was extremely disappointed because it was on Osaka Island, which is right by Tokyo Bay and Rainbow Bridge. And we were going to miss it by a week. It was supposed to be taken down. Okay. So in the research of our trip, he was watching YouTube videos of people talking about it while they were there. And the person on the YouTube video that was like an American filming it said that it's really cool because you can walk out of the train station and go straight and look out the window, and you can see the head popping up out of the trees. So we get to the station, we get out of the train, and me and his mom are starting to walk away, and he is like a two-year-old running to that window just to see if maybe it was up, and guess what? It was. And that 30-year-old looked like a two-year-old. Like, he was like jumping up and down and so excited. So I walked a bajillion miles, it felt like, to see this Gundam, and it was pretty impressive. I'll show you pictures of it. I have them. They're amazing. Like, I had like a old school like wind camera because I like old cameras, so I was taking like actual photography photos of it, and I had it zoomed in so close. They actually have the warning labels that they have on the Gundams in the show on the life-size Gundam.
That's super cool.
Yeah. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, we don't have anything like that here. Like, I missed when the Science Center had Voltron. So our local Science Center, Voltron, I know we've mentioned on the podcast before, Voltron was basically a St. Louis property. It was a company in St. Louis, brought in a couple different animes that they made this cartoon from, and they released it out to the country.
It's pretty awful.
There's a whole history behind it. Well,
It's very nostalgic for kids.
While the cartoon itself doesn't hold up, the history behind it is fascinating. And I've gone to a lot of local comic conventions and anime conventions and just listened to the guys that... Because the guy that owns the property now and really runs this stuff, it was his father that brought it over. So he has all these stories about going to school with the toys before anyone else had them, about how his dad went through, and and they came up with all the stuff that they did as they brought it over. Well, as an anniversary, our local science center put together a giant, I guess it's not as big as the Gundam. But it was a giant Voltron statue that they put inside the science center in a big open area that was like 2 to 3 stories tall. And I never got up there to see it. I'm still kicking myself for that because I have a lot of nostalgia for Voltron, which is why I don't watch the cartoon.
Yes, yes. Nostalgia is great, but when it gets squashed, it's terrible.
You know, if any of the listeners come to St. Louis, the Science Center is so cool. They do such awesome things that cater to our adult nerd.
And like, it's free.
It's free, except what just happened last weekend, which I missed and I'm very sad, which was the beer science. It was $50, and you could try every beer in St. Louis, and you learned how that was made and what the hops were, and they taught you how to do that. But they run that kind of stuff all the time, and they have first
during
Fridays.
Summer they do they do first nights.
It's the first Friday of every month. No, they still do it regularly too.
John, Dan, and I went to see one of the Star Trek movies.
Yeah,
and they because they have the big Omnimax.
Yep,
the gigantic 4-story tall screen,
round screen.
Yeah,
it's a dome shape.
Because if you've heard of an IMAX, it's the big one. This is actually the full dome where most things you're watching there have been made for it. Except these movies haven't been.
I saw Harry Potter there.
It was still really good on it, I thought.
Well, I saw Batman there. The first one, Batman Begins. So I go in, and as it starts sitting, I've never gotten motion sick, ever. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do the movie. Because the preview before Batman was the Johnny Depp Willy Wonka.
Oh.
So the first thing I see is the giant Johnny Depp moving around all around me. And I'm like, oh, God.
No, I'm not going to. Too much Depp.
And that's a, and that's a thing is like in the regular Omnimax stuff is kind of like educational shows most of the time. So it's like.
Yeah, we don't watch those.
No, I do.
I went and saw the Invasion of Normandy one.
Yeah.
I've seen.
All the space. I've seen every space.
I've seen most of the space ones.
Yeah.
They tell you that if you get motion sickness, that sometimes people can't go. I mean, I have a best friend who gets motion sickness at the drop of a hat. She cannot watch anything there.
I am very susceptible to motion sickness, but I've seen a number of documentaries there, and it's not bothered me. I don't know why.
Have you seen the space ones? That's usually what gets people.
You know what was cool about the Normandy one I watched? You know how in the old documentaries and the
Dead
old
Germans?
World War II movies?
Dead French.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Dead British.
Yes. Dead everything. Yes. But they have, like, the maps, right? They have the big map of Europe, and they have the big red arrows with the knots come down. Then they have, like, the blue arrows coming up from Normandy and stuff. Imagine that map all animated and stuff, 3 stories big, and like all the stuff moving around, you can't see all the movements and stuff at once. I'm like, oh my God, it's the big board.
Yeah. The Science Center is
fantastic.
Our Science Center is just a whole list of things I wanted to do that I've missed. Because like, if you look through everything they do, they're constantly doing something. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of finding time to get there. Some of them I've done, like the Marvel Experience, Titanic.
I did the Star Trek experience.
The Star Trek when they did it. The one that they just finished up, they did
a Sherlock Holmes one.
That's
Sherlock Holmes.
They did a Sherlock Holmes one And they did a Sherlock Holmes murder mystery dinner.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I were going to do this for our anniversary. But by the time we got to actually go try to get it scheduled, it already sold out. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't do it.
They did a Doctor Who one that I wanted to go to and that completely sold out.
They literally are like, I swear that we run that place. And that's why they do all this really cool stuff. It's like our peeps run that place. And so they're like, you know what would be cool? A Doctor Who night. Or, you know, like they think of the things that would appeal to people our age. Mm-hmm. As well as kids, and they have it. And so, like, on Fridays, they're open to, like, what, midnight?
Well, our symphony does stuff like that, too. Our symphony.
Journey's coming up. Woo, woo. Yep. I'm going to the Journey one.
So does every generation experience that? I mean, for example, it is people in our age groups, although we range from, you know, 20s to 40s.
I think I'm the youngin'.
Right. But
how old are you, 19?
20. Thank you. I'm 29. 28. Oh, wow. So almost 29.
So your several years expired. Got it.
Grilled cheese sandwich.
Yes.
Oh, no, just get them with the one curd. No. But it's true. I mean, if you look at the film industry, if you look at television, if you look at things like the Science Center, it seems like that people in our age group are in those positions of authority and decision making. Well, and so you're seeing guys like J.J. Abrams and Joss Whedon.
Well, let me put it to you this way.
Well, say, I look at Hot Topic as a store. When I was a teenager, I was the Gothling wannabe. I loved Hot Topic. It had everything I wanted to buy.
They had my underwear.
As I got into the 20s and up until now, I walk into Hot Topic now and I see Doctor Who, X-Men. Mm-hmm. I got a Fallout shirt from there the other day. It's all of my
interests.
Hot Topic is growing up with me.
Yeah.
And it's still to this day one of my favorite
stores.
So it's
gone from counterculture to consumerism.
Like, yeah. Like we just have. Like me. Yeah.
So I kind of like Doctor Who, just a little.
No, you're a liar.
Yeah, you know. God, I love Doctor Who.
Chet, my family knows I like Doctor Who so much that when I went over for Christmas and I'm opening my Christmas gifts, every one of them had gone out and gotten one of those mega blocks, like the Lego Doctor Who.
The fake Legos?
Yep. And one of those was slipped into each gift.
Oh, neat.
So I'm going through and I'm opening one. It's like, here's a Cyberman. Oh, here's the Peter Capaldi Doctor. I already had the Tennant. I already had the Matt Smith. And so it's like each one, there was something new in each one that was just mixed in.
So on the thing, like, have the nerds grown into the entertainment culture and that sort of thing? And I will tell you explicitly, yes. I have watched every single episode of Doctor Who in order, and I am up to the Irish guy. What's his name?
Sylvester McCoy.
Sylvester McCoy. And
I call him the good one.
The good one, yes. And I am in the last season of his thing, so I've got the movie, and then I'm into the new stuff. So
the movie, I rewatched the movie a while back, and it reminded me how much I love Sylvester McCoy because he is in the beginning of the movie.
Except he blows as Radagast the Brown. It's terrible.
So anyway, I've been watching a lot of the stuff on DVD. Some of it's on streaming. Most of it isn't. So I get a lot of the DVDs in from Netflix and let's say various other sources. And I watched the documentaries and stuff on it, too. And some of them were really good. Some of them were really bad. But I noticed a trend, right? So everything from 1980 and before, so 1960 to 1980, all of it has a similar theme of we're actors, we're directors, we're producers, we're professionals. You know, I had never done a science fiction before, or you had heard of Doctor Who, but I had never done sci-fi, and it was all that. And then you start getting into the, oh, well, of course, you know, Tom Baker, you've heard of him, but, you know, you don't really go up to him and say, oh, I'm a big fan or whatever. You say, you know, oh, I admire your work and you're a good doctor.
You don't get a Peter David. He's my father-in-law.
Right. No, you're not to that yet. And so it wasn't until 1980 with a companion named Adric, who was their youngest companion that they've ever had in the show.
And still one of my favorites.
And lives in Indiana, by the way. And he says that he was a mega fan of Doctor Who. When he was a kid growing up, he was hiding behind the couch watching Doctor Who, and he loved it. And he became an actor. He never thought he'd be on Doctor Who. And he talks about how you couldn't tell anyone that. You had to be a professional. there's all the doctors and stuff, and you want to go up and you want to be like, I'm in the TARDIS with the doctor and I want an autograph and I want my picture taken with him. It's so awesome. And he's like, as soon as we were done filming, I and my friend ran back to our apartment to watch last week's episode that we had gotten done filming of Doctor Who. And but we couldn't tell him, you're not supposed to watch the show. Oh, no, that's what the other people do. So at that point, after that, when they start interviewing the writers and stuff, as the years go on, the writers are all like, I grew up on Doctor Who. I love Doctor Who. I wrote all these science fiction movies. Oh, I had directed this sci-fi show and that sci-fi show. I'm a huge nerd. Oh, and we went to all the conventions. And it was like being with my people. And, you know, I met Peter Davison. And it's like, oh, my God, you're just the greatest. I love your show. I used to watch you all the time and blah, blah, blah. And yes, absolutely. It has changed.
It used to be a profession.
Yeah.
The things that we enjoy used to be a profession. And when you were done, you went home to your kids and your housewife.
You didn't watch.
You didn't watch your stuff. Yeah. And I feel like I know like the nerd culture is the new thing, but it's also helped in that aspect because you have people that are okay with you being cool with their stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Comic-Con wouldn't be a thing.
Well, look at the Marvel movies.
Enjoy it.
The Marvel movies are not made by somebody who has never looked at cartoons or looked at comic books or doesn't know. I mean, look at Guardians of the Galaxy. The guy who directed that is a huge comic book nerd, and he made a movie that can appeal to a broad audience.
Sure.
And he made a movie that can appeal to the comic book nerds, and he put in all the little hints and guesses and little stuff, all the nods
all
and
the
stuff
Easter eggs,
that only apply to Wayne and Brodor. And they're the only people who get all the nods and references.
Along the same lines, look at the new Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah.
You look at what Tim Burton did when he tried to make Planet of the Apes movie that was horrible. And then you look at these.
I didn't think it was too bad, but I'm not Planet of the Apes fan.
Oh, I'm with Wayne. I mean, horrible is a kind word.
It was semi-racist.
So you watch the new ones, and when I watched that first one,
I never thought about the racism. But I'm not saying it's not there. I just don't remember.
Poorly, you're right.
Yeah.
So when I watched the first of the new ones, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes,
it was a good one.
Yeah, I'm watching it. I'm like, all of these little references to the original series, because I've mentioned many times before, I'm a Planet of the Apes fanboy.
Right.
I've got all of them on Blu-ray. I've seen at least each one of them. Mm-hmm. I've seen at least 5 times. The first one probably 15, 20 times. I've watched all of the commentaries. I've watched all of these documentaries. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting through watching this one, and it's its own standalone story. That's very good.
Yeah.
The special effects are very good. But there's all of these little nods of, you know, here's a character name that's being used. In the background, here's the spaceship. It's missing. Mm-hmm. And it's like all of these little things that people that have never seen the originals wouldn't catch. But you know, somebody on that staff is as big of a fan as I am to have pulled out all of these tiny little references. Hmm. And it's one of the things I love about movies these days, is because I love sitting there and watching a movie, and you're watching it at one level. That's this is an action adventure movie for anyone that wants to sit down and watch a movie. But there's this underlying subtext of, we know you're a fan. We are too.
So it's like,
here's what we managed to slide in there without anyone knowing.
It's like watching The Matrix, right? I mean, The Matrix is really interesting. It referenced a lot of stuff that wasn't quite in nerd culture yet, or wasn't quite in the mainstream of nerd culture. A lot of John Woo references, a lot of Hong Kong action, a lot of very specific sort of Bruce Lee references and that sort of thing. That I thought was cool because none of my friends had ever saw any of that stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, that scene's from The Killers. Oh my God, that was from this movie. Oh my God, that's from this movie. And they're like, shut up, we're trying to watch the movie.
Well, I think that's a sign of a very well done movie. Some movies require you to have that knowledge, and
you shouldn't have the background knowledge. That's why the Marvel movies succeed. That's why the new Star Trek movies succeed, because you don't have to be this gigantic freaking nerd to get it.
And because, like, chill out if you are a gigantic nerd and they don't do it 100%.
Oh,
good Lord.
Yeah. Nobody wants, those are nerds that give nerds a bad name right there.
I'm going to paraphrase, but one of my favorite Onion article headlines was Star Trek fans enraged. New movies, fun and exciting.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that's why J.J. Abrams is a genius, because he took Star Trek and made it interesting.
Yeah.
I was like, so I can't wait for what he's going to do with Star Wars, because he's going to take Star Wars and make it interesting. Like, I'm so stoked.
I did just watch the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek, and
the plot makes no sense, but it's so fun.
No. It's not my core. The lens flares. Like, I know everybody talked about them.
That's fair.
But if you haven't watched it in a while, watch it again now that nobody's talking about them, and you're like, holy And then
Sarah's been watching this movie over and over. Like, she loved the new Star Trek. She's watching it over and over again.
It was just,
my thoughts on it are basically, the lens flares bothered me the first time, but I've seen it so many times it doesn't bother me. I think it was a horrible story.
It's
but
a terrible
I really
story.
Enjoy watching the movie because it's fun.
Here's where it's great. You have the peak of human technology, right? You have the Enterprise, and then you've got a shitty fucking mining ship, and that mining ship is going to kick everyone's ass. It's great. Awesome. It's absolutely great.
And the casting was like,
oh yeah,
the casting is great. Like, I liked everybody they picked for everybody. I really do. And actually, I won't talk about that yet. But my only problem is,
we'll see if you still feel the same way once the first Star Wars comes out. And I think you'll be fine and enjoy it. But what is Mike going to say about the first of the new Star Wars?
I'm looking forward to the new Star Wars.
No, Mike is too.
Because
he's just trying not to get his hopes up.
Oh, I do too. But
I don't
Mike is a huge Star Wars fan.
I don't like Star Wars.
Right. Mike is the biggest Star Wars geek that I know.
So I
have a feeling he's going to go in and he's never going to live up to what he wants.
No, here's the deal.
Star Wars is overrated, overdone. It's very silly. And it is three toy commercials strung together with a follow-up three toy commercials strung together.
Well, hopefully they change that.
And hopefully they change it. See, that's why I'm looking forward to it. They've ejected George Lucas, more or less. They have ejected all this extended universe bollocks. But they're not totally getting rid of it. They're saying, you know, some of this is good. There's some good ideas in there. We're going to cherry pick the good ideas. We're going to try and make a good movie.
Disney has it now, which I have a lot of faith in, especially having been to Star Wars Week at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect. I mean, everything they did, they had a big, like, they, you know, every park has a parade. Well, during Star Wars Week, Star Wars takes over Hollywood Studios Park. And so their parade literally looks like something straight out of the damn movie. Like, it's like they make these hovercrafts that look like they're from there. Like, it looks like if somebody did the prequels good and put the parade out there. Because there was, like, all the costuming and the aliens and all that. It was really good. So I have a lot of faith in what Disney can do with it, especially with George Lucas.
Here's my hope for Disney. They're talking about what they want to do for the next Indiana Jones, now that they own Indiana Jones.
You mean no aliens? Because that would be great.
Yeah, so I think I'm really looking forward to what they can do with Indiana Jones, because I'm not a huge Indiana Jones fan.
Were there aliens in the last one?
Yeah.
I didn't see them. I didn't see the last movie.
You should watch it. Have you seen the South Park parody about, what was it, like, they raped my friend, and they were just talking about raping Indiana Jones? Like, it is that bad. Like, they just, they took Indiana Jones, bent him over a table, and raped him, is what we're saying.
So Shia LaBeouf was in the movie, and he was the best thing about the movie.
Whoa.
Expand that.
Two things. One, in my office, we have a big board. We're taking a betting pool on how long it will be into the new Star Wars before you have two lightsabers clash and create lens flare.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of bets going on. If you guys want to get in on that,
opening credits.
P.S. lightsaber hilt. Brilliant. How come nobody thought of it before? Go on.
I agree, but there's a lot of hate for it.
I'm a hater. But...
lightsaber guards? Like, no one's going to chop your shit off.
Okay. All right. So.
No.
But it's only a concern if the lightsabers actually move.
I'm just glad they found a way to get the light to
stop. So here
we
go. We're dueling. You have lightsaber hilt. I do not have lightsaber hilt. And we're in the classic sword against sword clash. But I'm physically stronger than you. Maybe not in the real world, but in this scenario.
I am Butch.
You have lightsaber hilt, and you know what I do? I overpower you, and I shove your lightsaber hilt into your throat.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should be wielding that if you can overpower me.
It's all a matter of fighting styles. There are different types of swords and different types of fighting styles.
I don't know what they're going to do in the movie.
But show me in history where someone has an actual sword that they took onto the battlefield that has blades to protect their hand.
You know what?
They didn't.
I have a better idea. How about like that French-styled rat pelt in lightsaber?
Now, that's what I'm talking about. You want to get one of those,
like, Scottish
long swords.
Like punch dagger sort of thing.
So then you get cortosis weave all across here so you can punch fools people. And you can block their lightsabers. That's a whole different geek out thing.
Yeah.
But I will say this. In the last Indiana Jones movie, the thing that I did like about it is that aliens and crystal skulls and all that, it was very, very...
There were actually aliens
in
it.
Yes.
Like, so yes. Like, not in the background, sort of in the side where you didn't see it, but like...
A spaceship.
A spaceship lands, take me to your leader, Indy, or...
Yes.
Right, but the concept of aliens coming to ancient Earth and landing and being worshipped, that's all very, very sort of pulpy concept. And so they took something that was very, very pulpy, and they did it poorly.
Yeah.
Were there Nazis in the movie?
No, the Russians were the bad guys. And they had a psychic. They had like a Russian psychic.
See, this gets a little too science fictiony.
See, and that was my problem. Indiana Jones was just so...
More mystic.
Like I said, Mike's mom's an archaeologist. You know, I kind of understand how they think, and I just feel like... It's really cool, and I think that's a neat concept, and it makes sense because they think, you know, aliens created Stonehenge, blah, 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 not in an Indiana Jones movie. Like, you maybe should, like, leave that alone,
and he
needs to go look for the Crusaders and, like, the Knights Round Table and those kinds of things.
That was the thing. If you look at the Indiana Jones movies prior to that one, there is a theme to them all.
Yeah, there's a mysticism,
there
but it's a very
religious artifacts,
subtle...
mysticism, all of that going on. I have no problem with the movie that deals with ancient aliens because it could be
fun. It's outside the vibe and mythology of Indiana Jones.
Right. Exactly.
I get it. That's a good argument.
Now, if
consider me swayed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they could have totally did it if in the previous movies, like where they had Nazis, the Nazis had like super science, sort of Hellboy-esque, super weird science. And that was a theme,
and it through that.
And it was cool and stuff. And then this one, okay, well, they got Russians. The Russians got a psychic, and they have aliens. Like, okay, yeah, that builds on the sort of thing, but
not reliquaries, etc.
Right?
Yeah.
But again, I can't say much to it because the movie looked so awful that I never even bothered seeing it.
I'm not kidding when I say what I found best about the movie was Shia LaBeouf.
Okay. You know,
now take that to mean
I'm late to the party. But if you haven't seen actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf on YouTube, I would highly, highly recommend that you watch it.
Did you know his name
really
means love beef?
That's amazing.
Well, what does Benicio del Toro mean? Benny the Bull.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did an interview where they were asking him what his name meant. I can't remember what language it derives from, but yeah, it means love beef. And I'm like, oh, isn't that cute?
All right. Well, I think we've run the full gamut of this one.
What was this episode about?
Tampons.
Yes.
Julie's vagina.
Yes. Her giant American vagina.
It reminds
vagina.
Me, like, I just recently watched Predator, and there are those jokes in there. So I said to my wife, I'd like a little pussy. And she said, me too. I said to my, I was going to my girlfriend, I said, your pussy is big as a house. Your pussy is big as a house. She said, why did you say it twice? I didn't.
Wow.
I think someone mentioned Sarlacc pit in relation to that. So then we talked Star Wars. And somehow we
came up with
all of this.
Something Indiana Jones, mic drop out.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Lightsaber Hill, lame.
Yeah.
If you've made it through all of this, I don't know why.
Wait, one more thing. Bob, if you're listening to this episode on your way to or home from work, I'm sorry we didn't talk about gaming.
Does Bob hate when we don't talk about gaming?
So my brother, I said to Dan tonight before the rest of you showed up, I said, my brother has become an avid listener.
Right.
And he said, you know, I really like the show. I like when you're on, except you're a disgusting piece of shit, and I can't let my wife or my children listen to the show. And I really like it when you guys talk about gaming.
Right. And we didn't talk about gaming. You know, I brought up a topic for this episode that was gaming.
I have a list of gaming topics. It's at some point around my big, giant, hideous vagina. I took this piece of paper and threw it in the center of the table.
Yes.
And did my mic drop.
I didn't know we were actually going to record that. I thought it was...
One of my players who's in my Absalom game actually has a show idea that I should pitch to you, which I thought was pretty fun. I mean, some good scenarios that we could spin off of it. But.
All right. Well, catch us next time for a normal episode.
We hope. See ya.